Thanks. I didn't know I was going to get an introduction. Ew, I can see myself. There we go. Okay. Now I can see all of you. Like, I don't want to stare at my face this whole time. Okay. Bridget Alcoholic. Thanks, Abe, for asking me to speak. I've never spoke for 40 minutes, so we'll see how this goes. My sobriety date is April 4th, 2016. So I've got a little over 5 years sober. And I'm very nervous. Yeah, I tend to think that I don't have anything of use to share when I come into a meeting. And I tend to see myself as like not good enough. Yet I was thinking about my job because I work today and I'm like, yet at my work, I'm like, I am better than all of them and they should pay me more. But I'm a piece of shit when I'm with you guys. So very, very black and white. So I guess I'll just start with my story, what it was like, how I got here and what it's like now. My grandma's an alcoholic. I'm in Portland, Oregon right now. But I'm from Montana and I was born into a family that my parents didn't drink at all. My mom essentially raised herself because my grandma was drinking all the time. So my mom wasn't a well-adjusted person, did the best she could, but I didn't really get enough of what I needed as a kid, which I feel like is a lot of people's stories. She has some mental illness herself, but she doesn't drink. So there's no alcohol in my house. Growing up, my grandma lived with us for a bit. I've been told that she might have been drinking while she lived there. I don't really know. I don't remember a lot of my childhood. It's very spotty. But I just know I was molested at an early age. Kind of blacked that out of my brain for a very long time, actually, until I got sober. But it definitely kind of added to how I reacted to life. I was very quiet. I did a lot of observing and just kind of watching everything around me and trying to figure out what I needed to do to try to keep myself safe or just adapt to a situation. So I just did probably like people pleasing, just trying to figure out what the people around me needed so I could survive. Not really taking into consideration that I needed anything or that like I was a worthwhile human. I remember not liking myself at a really early age and, I was very already pretty addicted to the idea of feeling different. My family didn't acknowledge feelings. So I got pretty used to like feelings were just not, I didn't understand them. I didn't know what to do with them. I was very sensitive and I had really big feelings. And so by the age of like 6 or 7, I developed an eating disorder that helped numb stuff for a while. And then as a teenager though, as I got older, I started self-harming. That helped a lot too. That did a lot of distracting from how like internal pain I was and not knowing what to do with how I felt. And then I started drinking. I don't quite remember. Might have been 14 or 15. I'm really not sure. I just know I had a desire to feel different. I didn't quite understand getting drunk or any of that. I just know my parents always said like, there's alcoholism in the family, don't drink. And it was just kind of known that you're not supposed to drink. And there not being alcohol in the house, I had a hard time getting a hold of stuff. So what I first started doing, cause I was just super depressed, self-harming, just this very depressed child going to a Catholic high school, just wearing as much jewelry as I could, piercing my ears in the bathroom. It's essentially just like, it looked like I guess I was pretty much just trying to be like the gothic kid at a school where you had to wear a uniform and couldn't dye your hair. So, I started getting taken to a psychiatrist and getting prescribed meds. And so what I would do, like my mom would give me one every morning. So I'd save them up and then take a bunch at once, hoping I'd feel something different. I do that with ibuprofen, like just take like 50 at a time. I'm like, and go to soccer practice and like just didn't really feel anything. Nothing happened. But I was really suicidal. I did not want to live and I had a lot of suicide attempts as a teenager. which no one really knew about because I didn't do anything like serious enough to end up in the hospital. So I was just kind of suffering alone. And then started drinking NyQuil and vanilla extract. That's kind of like my first way I figured out what things had alcohol in them that were in my home, and started drinking those. And then luckily I started meeting people that were older than me and could buy me alcohol. And one of the first nights that I got a hold of a beer, I remember meeting up with a friend in a parking lot, and he had a warm Keystone Light and he gave it to me. It tasted disgusting, but I drank the whole thing. And then he's like, well, that's all I have. And I remember getting very pissed off at him that that was all he had, because like, I wanted to get fucked up. I wanted to not feel the way I was feeling. Cause I was miserable. So, and that's kind of how my drinking was. There was no slow progression into drinking. I then found more friends who bought me alcohol, and that drinking looked like I preferred hard alcohol. That way I could get fucked up a lot faster. And sorry if I'm not supposed to swear. Nobody told me if I was or wasn't supposed to. Okay, good. I tend to swear a lot. So, and I just remember like I would go to hotel rooms. I would go to people's houses that I didn't know. I didn't care where I went. If there was going to be alcohol, that was fine. I didn't take into consideration that maybe it wasn't a safe place to be. I would drink the alcohol, preferably the hard alcohol, until I blacked out. And I wouldn't take into account that like the effects of the alcohol hadn't even hit me yet while I was still chugging it. Cause I was just so desperate and just to feel something different. So I got alcohol poisoning a lot, threw up almost every time I drank, blacked out a lot. I have memories of being sexually assaulted by the people that I thought were my friends throughout high school. And those are the situations I kept putting myself into because I was just miserable and didn't know how to adjust to life. And if I wasn't sober now, I don't think I'd be alive by now. When I drink, I'm already prone to being like more of a depressed type of person. So when I drink, I tend to get more depressed, more suicidal. And before I got sober, I was also self-harming, and I would usually do that after I started drinking. And because like I was kind of numb, like the cuts would be deeper and would hardly sleep, started like seeing things that weren't there. Like it was insane. And I was remembering this is like before I came to this meeting is, towards the end, I was drinking just so that I could get myself to call a crisis line. Cause I couldn't get myself to call a crisis line without drinking some vodka first, to try to ask for help because I wanted to kill myself. So it was pretty miserable. Somehow made it to college. Don't really know how. Didn't want to go to college. Drank my way through that. At 19, I ended up in an abusive relationship, and the stuff he did to me was a repeat of my childhood trauma. I couldn't see it. I couldn't recognize that anything was wrong. I was just like, I guess this is what love is. This person seems to be interested in me. And when I was just adding to the trauma that I already had. And I drank my way through that relationship. I think alcohol probably helped save my life a bit during that. That was 2 years, 19 to 21. Somehow, probably through a higher power, not really sure, I got out of that relationship and moved on. And the next, throughout my 20s, because I guess I got sober when I was like 27 or 28, if I do the math right, something like that. It was just followed with just extreme drinking. I would just drink to blackout and just not feel. I managed to keep jobs. I'm not really sure how. I seemed to function really well. Like the alcohol served me in the purpose that it would numb me, and then I could function and over function. Cause that's what my parents taught me to do. Like, don't feel your feelings, just function, be productive. Cause that's the only way that you're worth anything. And I didn't feel like I had any self-worth. So towards the end of my drinking, I really don't want to spend a bunch of time talking about what it looks like, but hopefully I've shared something that people can identify with. I mean, we all drink, so I feel like there's that to identify with. But towards the end, what it looked like was just so much suicidal thinking. I was still functioning, I was going to school. I was trying to get a second bachelor's. I think I'd collected like 4 jobs at that time, 4 or 5 part-time jobs. I can't even remember how many I had, but I was so confused as to why I was so miserable. And like, I had like 5 suicide plans lined up in case one didn't work out. I had 4 others I could look to. And I didn't understand how, like, I was so miserable, but I didn't want to tell anyone, because I'm like, well, there must be nothing wrong, because I'm still working. I'm still going to school. I'm still showing up for stuff. So there must be nothing wrong. And that thinking, that did not serve me well. I tend to function well for whatever reason. And I was going in and out of a crisis house towards the end of my drinking. I was married. I am still married to the same person. He's seen me through my drinking and now through sobriety, about half in each. But I was going in and out of that psychiatric house for, it was like 3 or 4 times in the same month. I would get in there, I would tell them what they needed to hear. And then, when I knew my insurance would quit paying after 3 days, I'd tell them what they needed to hear, so they'd agree that I could leave. And finally, like the last time of going there, I'm just like, I decided to be honest while also asking to leave. I was just really struggling. I wanted help so bad, and I wanted somebody to just to tell me like what I needed to do. But there was still the part of me that's like, you're fine. Like the drunken part of me that's like, you're fine. Like you can keep going the way that you're going. Yeah. And I, like, one of the last conversations I had with one of the therapists, I was trying to convince her I should leave, 'cause I needed to go get my hair cut. And then a sentence later, I'm like, but just so you know, I have like a suicide plan picked out for Friday. And I was so confused. And she's like, well, then you can't leave. And I'm like, but I need my hair cut. Like, it was insane. And I was so unwell. And luckily that the therapist helped, 'cause she told me, she's like, you have a choice. You can either pick a treatment center to go to. At that point, I did not know I was an alcoholic. I had no idea. I just decided that all of my problems were attributed to that one domestic violence relationship I was in. And like, that was the reason I was crazy. And she told me that I could pick treatment, or I would likely be sent to the state psychiatric hospital where I would just be medicated. I didn't like medications because they tend to just numb me, which is also like ironic because like I use alcohol to numb myself. So I don't know. And so I agreed to go to treatment, tried to convince my husband after leaving the psychiatric house, 'cause like that I needed like a week before I went, 'cause I still need to get my hair cut. 'Cause for whatever reason, like that was so important. I did actually get my hair cut before I went to treatment, but it was not necessary. But I did convince him to buy me alcohol a day before I went, and still with like no clue that I was going to be getting sober. So I went to treatment, and I was really fortunate. I went to a place in Tucson, called Sierra Tucson, and that place definitely helped save my life. While I was there, I still did not believe I was an alcoholic. I had a therapist right before. I might jump all over the place while I share, because my brain's a little bit everywhere. But I had a therapist that I was working with before I went to treatment, who had told me to drink to relax every now and then. So I kind of had like a professional supporting my drinking. But I also wasn't being very probably honest about how much I was drinking, and she wasn't asking. So it worked out to continue my drinking. But while in treatment, I remember them just asking me, it was like a dual diagnosis place, so you didn't have to be an alcoholic to be there. There's a bunch of different reasons people were there, and mine was primarily mood, just the depression and being suicidal and trying to work on my past trauma, and then my eating disorder as well. But While I was there, they just kept saying, like, I had a therapist who kept saying, like, well, maybe you should think about AA. And I'm just like, no, like, I'm not an alcoholic. Everything's fine. And, but they'd ask me, like, okay, if you go home, like, one of these situations that used to trigger you, like, how are you going to deal with it? I'm like, I'm going to drink vodka. And I was serious and I would laugh and they wouldn't laugh. And I didn't understand. I'm like, I don't know what the problem is. And I was there for 2.5 months. And just throughout that time, I just said, that was my answer to everything. I'm just like, vodka. And then it was a couple weeks before I left, maybe even a week towards the end of my stay there. This place had like over 100, people there, patients, but they broke us out into small groups that you stayed with throughout the week and did like your small process group. And so it was a group of like 8 or 10 of us. And it was primarily like people with eating disorders, but this lady got placed in our group, by mistake. And she didn't have an eating disorder. She was an alcoholic who had relapsed and she was in the group and, she just had bonded well with the therapist. So they kept her there. And towards the end, she had made a comment and she's like, well, I drank to feel something different. And I was still in denial that I was an alcoholic throughout that whole time. And when she said that though, I'm like, well, why else would you drink? And it hit me. I'm like, I can't comprehend another reason to drink. Like my only reason to drink is to feel something different, to black out and just be done functioning as a person. And to get out of my head and my thinking, because my thinking's crazy most of the time. And that was the moment that it hit me that like, I'm an alcoholic. And I'm so grateful that that happened before I left that treatment place. So I was already like 70 days sober by the time I realized I was an alcoholic. So I'm really grateful that that happened. And I didn't have to have the temptation of alcohol being there while trying to go through that process of realizing I was an alcoholic. Cause I think I would have kept drinking. And I didn't mention this, but like, I didn't really do any other drugs. Like I did, like I found pills and stuff that I could do, but I tried weed several times, usually made me paranoid. And I'm really grateful I didn't get into any other drugs. I think going to the Catholic school I went to, I was kind of saved from that. There wasn't a lot of hard drugs there that I recall or could find. Cause I would have done them the same way I do alcohol and I probably would have overdosed and died. So very grateful that that was never introduced into my life. So I got sober after going to treatment, was still very adamant about not going to AA though. I really struggled with the whole God thing. Being raised Catholic, my alcoholic grandma used to shove God down our throat, quite literally, like would make us like come into the garage. I've got 3 siblings and just remember like her just having us go into the garage and like confess our sins to her. And then she would like mock us for like what we confessed to her. We'd have to pray with her. It was horrible. She like told me as a little kid, if I sinned, I was going to hell. So I was always afraid I was going to hell. I was just a very anxious kid. And so just that being added in, I quickly wanted to be nothing like my grandma, which was also partly why I didn't want to believe I was an alcoholic, because I didn't want to be like her. And she also had mentioned she had gone to AA and I'm like, well, fuck that. Like, if I end up crazy like my grandma, like, no, it's no. There was one therapist in treatment who did tell me, when I was struggling with the whole concept of God. He's like, well, just like replace it with a word of something you like. I'm obsessed with corgis. I have 2 of them right now. They're sitting on my bed with me. I love them. He's like, replace it with the word corgi. And I have like a book that like I've crossed out the word God and put corgi in several spots because that helped me for quite a while. Because sometimes when I hear people read from the book, I'm like, oh, it's the Bible. It's not the Bible. But I do still struggle with that aspect and realizing that like it's spirituality, not religion, and keeping those separate. So after treatment, I stayed sober, have been sober since that first day of going to treatment. But I did not go to AA for 1.5 years. I was very dry. I went in and out of treatment. I kept going back to the same place because I'd get home. I would struggle to like adjust back to real life. luckily I told my, for some reason this thought worked. I told myself, I'm like, well, if you drink, you're going to end up killing yourself. And so like that, for some reason that kept me from going back to drinking, but I would keep like going back to the eating disorder, like any other like addictive thing I could do, cutting, self-harm. And I'd also go back to feeling really suicidal and making plans to end my life again. So I just kept ending up back in treatment, really struggled. I have PTSD, and really struggled with the memories coming back since I got sober, and then most of my childhood came back. And really realizing that and trying to heal from that was very difficult. So for some reason, after the last time I went to treatment in 2017, I made the decision I was done going back to residential treatment, or at least that place. And, I knew I needed to try something different. Went to, I can't remember exactly where my first meeting was. I want to say, I think I went to a meeting before the last time I went to treatment, actually, because I met Angela at one of my first meetings. And I still remember the share she said, and it was like very insightful and deep. And I'm like, these are my people. Like, for some reason, I'm like, this is amazing. And even though like the first time I went to treatment, I didn't identify as an alcoholic, all the people I surrounded myself with there and connected with were alcoholics. At the time I couldn't see that like those were my people. But it makes so much sense now. Like I connected with them. Everything they said made sense, and well, probably not everything, but you know what I mean? So I finally started going to meetings. Took me a really long time to get a sponsor, really struggled with God, like I said, and higher power. It seemed like for like the first, I don't know, probably wasn't like a full year, but it seemed like a year of, I just kept going to meetings and it was on step two. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like seriously. And I kept getting called on, and I'm like, I don't have anything to say about this. But I kept going for whatever reason. I kept going. I kept listening. Eventually I got a sponsor. I don't know how long, before I found my first sponsor. It was probably, I think I'd already been sober for 2 years before I finally decided to get a sponsor and work the steps. And I went through all the steps with her. Sorry. My brain is like a little bit scattered, and I'm like at the end of like a head cold, which is, I can't hear quite well out of one of my ears right now because my head's so congested. So feel like I'm not as coherent as I wish I could be. But that's fine. So, So I guess I want to say something of use. Okay. So sobriety. I'm trying to think of what to share about just how it's been since then, because I'm like, I want to say like, oh, it's just been absolutely amazing, when like I wanted to drink last week, so it hasn't been perfect. And it's not perfect because it's life. It's like things still happen. But I don't react the same way I used to. I actually feel my feelings now. Even if they're painful, like I called a friend the other day and actually cried on FaceTime. That's something I would like, couldn't do, I don't know, 2 years ago, probably. My feelings didn't seem to come out around people. It wasn't until I got home and then I'd like bawl my eyes out. So like things are actually starting to match up, and I have a feeling in the moment, and that's amazing. Cause I couldn't do that before. Like I get incredibly emotional when I watch like a parent care for a child, like, and I work at a place with children. So most of the time I'm like tearing up and being like, hey, I need to walk away. So there's a lot of amazing stuff that's happened. I feel way more vulnerable and just in touch with myself. And I'm actually beginning to like myself. And something else that's really amazing that I never thought would change is I don't want to kill myself anymore. It comes back briefly every now and then. But that was something that was pretty chronic from the time I was a teenager until after getting sober. And I thought that that was just something I was going to deal with for the rest of my life, and just constantly just being like, okay, I just need to, you know, ask for help when it gets really bad and just be aware of it. And, I don't know when that changed, but I just know I noticed it one day, and it was really nice, to actually start realize like I'm starting to like myself and get to know myself, and just heal from the stuff I went through and realize like the stuff I went through as a kid and like the trauma and the trauma I went through as an adult, like that doesn't define who I am. Cause I used to just kind of define my existence. I used to just always be a victim. And that's kind of how I went to adulthood. I'm like, well, I'm just a victim of like whatever happens and I don't have to do that anymore. So, so I guess maybe I'll just share a little bit about last week. Just cause I think it shows just like sobriety is not perfect, for me, but I got a head cold. It's not COVID. I got tested. It's not COVID. At the beginning of the week, my husband and I went and got, I couldn't find real Sudafed and I don't keep Sudafed in my house cause it's got the active ingredient in it. And that's one of the things I took as like a teenager to get fucked up on. So went and found allergy pills that have the same ingredient so I could get some relief from my head cold. Bought way more than I needed because I'm like, well, just in case I got 20 pills, I'm not going to be sick for 20 days. It's not realistic. But at the time I'm like, this makes sense. And also at the same time, I was like looking on the shelf. I'm like, oh, NyQuil. Like I obviously need liquid NyQuil when they make like pills of NyQuil, like it has alcohol in it. And I'm like in the moment though, like I'm just like, this is all fine. Like, I just want relief from how I'm physically feeling. I can handle like having something that has 10% alcohol in it. When like, I can't. Luckily I made the choice to buy the NyQuil pills instead of the liquid. Cause I can't even take Pepto-Bismol like you're supposed to. I drink it out of the bottle. Like I don't even measure it. So like, I'm not good with even like medication. It just reminds me every time I take Pepto, I'm like, oh yeah, you're still an alcoholic. I finally got smart and bought the pills. So I take them properly. There's no measuring. You just got to take the right number. But yeah, I really wanted to drink last night and last week, and get relief from how I'm physically feeling. And I'm feeling a bit numb, just cause I'm so congested. I don't seem to be very in touch with my feelings, which makes sense. I'm trying to get through a cold, and I used to drink to get rid of my feelings. And last week I wanted to drink because I didn't have any feelings, which was like a change, but like, it just tells me like, I'll drink over anything if I can. I thought a lot about taking extra pills so that I could get like high off of the allergy pills. Cause I accidentally got high last summer. Didn't really pay attention, had horrible allergies and took too many, and obsessed about the pills for days after that until I finally got myself to throw them away. So like, I do still struggle with the idea of wanting to drink and use. The nice thing is like, I share about it now. I think this is probably like the fifth or sixth time I've shared about it. And I wouldn't have done that before. I don't think I shared very much about it a year ago when I was struggling with the allergy pills in my house. And I finally gave them all to my husband to take care of, cause nobody needs 20 of those. So he bought some for himself, and he bought less than me. He's not an alcoholic. He was smart, and he's like, oh, like I don't need as many. Yeah. And last week while I was really struggling, I let go of my sponsor a couple weeks ago, but last week I finally decided I'm like, I need to take some action. Like I'm in pain and I need to do something. And I called somebody and asked her to be my sponsor. So like, that's just, it just, things are different. I actually, like when I get in emotional pain, I take some action. Sometimes I don't do it soon enough. But at the same time, like I do it at some point. So maybe that is soon enough. But it seems like I can't seem to stay in that difficult place as long as I used to before I reach out for help and actually do something or share about it at a meeting or call somebody, and get vulnerable or even like share something with my husband. I didn't do that before. I'd have to drink before I could tell him something vulnerable, that I was struggling with. So things keep changing. I still struggle. I go back and forth with, the higher power stuff, is still difficult for me. Meditation really helps with that and just connecting with something outside of myself. That seems to be something, that really helps, except lately I haven't been meditating as much, which I hate admitting. I really struggle with being consistent with stuff other than going to meetings. I do seem to do that consistently. and talking with alcoholics, as I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, there are things you are doing consistently. My brain's like, but think of all this stuff you're not doing well. So yeah, I'm still working on things. I was at a meeting just before this and I heard somebody read from the Big Book and I was like, this sounds like the Bible. And luckily in the moment I could like tell myself, I'm like, this is just telling me where I'm at with a relationship to a higher power. I'm struggling with it right now. Cause there's plenty of days where I hear somebody read from the Big Book and I hear a lot. So I don't react to life the way I used to. I'm a little bit more flexible. I'm more open to things. I'm more open to working on things and changing things and not being so stuck. And just realizing like, I don't have to live the way I used to. I don't want to go back to drinking. Even when I do have days or weeks where I still want to drink, I'm able to even like, look at that as like, it's me wanting to escape what I need to just get through. So it's just way better being sober. Like I was even thinking about this last night because I had an incredibly, like I was feeling sick, just really bad stomach ache for some reason. I think I just ate something that didn't agree with me. And it just reminded me of being hungover. I got hungover every time I drank. I was sick every day after I drank. I'd go to work hungover or still drunk. I was thinking last night, I'm so grateful I'm not the one making myself sick anymore. Cause I'd also always puke every time I drank. Like my body was trying to tell me like, this is, you don't need this. Like, yeah. And I was just so not in tune with any of it. So yeah, I'm not destructive like I used to be. I actually care about myself. I care about other people. I want to help other people. I'm currently wanting to change jobs and actually get into like a more of a helping profession. I don't know what that looks like. I just know I want to do something different. I know. And that's changed. Like I'm not as scared as I used to be to try to help other people. And I can't help anyone else if I'm not sober, or actually working a program and going through the steps. Yeah, I feel like I'm just kind of rambling now. My timer shows that I still have 7 minutes, but I don't think I have 7 minutes worth of stuff left. So I think that's it. Thanks for listening to my very long ramble. I hope I said something of use to somebody.
Thank you.
CK Cole got so good.
Bye.
Yeah. I'm here with Roshonda and Natasha.